Hello?
Hi, Fontana, how are you?
How are you doing? Is this Sheldon?
Yes.
How are you? It's Monday. You never emailed me at a time we were supposed to do a session.
I did respond to you via email. I didn't get a response back for that one.
Yeah, I didn't see you respond back. I left some question marks, like what time are we going to do it? But I'm hearing that people are having problems with Google. I don't know. I don't have any idea.
Okay,
but
no problem. No problem. Let's do it right now. So,
what?
Okay, what?
Do you want me to get out, like, or we can go through? I'll be straight up with you. I have never written a book before. I got a lot going on. I have post-traumatic stress disorder, and I'm a bit scatterbrained. I know at least there's 15 pages written. I'm just going to have to keep pecking at this until we get it right. I know you guys probably got a lot of books that you're writing, and maybe there's some way you could kind of guide me so I could better organize this thing. I just want to take my time with it and do it right.
No problem. So, Michael, last time you wanted to have a conversation was about your family, okay?
Yeah, I think one of the last things I wrote was that you saw in there, is this being recorded?
Yes, this is recorded.
Okay, I was saying something about that I saw, that was like one of the last sentences. I don't have it in front of me, but I was saying that there was a girl that I saw get raped and stuck with a needle in a psychiatric hospital that I got trafficked into when I was 13. I don't have it in front of me what I was writing about, but maybe I'll just take it from there. The whole culmination of my entire life, of everything that I was angry about, kind of spewed out on the Capitol steps on January 6th.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling the FBI agent, where I assumed the president and everybody was listening, because I put in a message with Homeland Security that the reason I was crying was I didn't want my wife and kids to be stuck with a needle, because I consider that a violation of the sovereignty of their body, and that's why I was crying. And I compared that to the horrible experience I had in that hospital. And that is the reason why Marjorie Taylor Greene was crying on the Senate floor last October at the beginning of this Great Awakening.
Okay.
I'm the one that planned it. From January 7th, I knew that when the story broke of what I did at the Capitol that got recorded by all those police officers' body cam, that would some way get to Congress. And you know that nobody said anything negative about those COVID bioweapon shots until you saw Marjorie Taylor Greene cry. So you got from when this started all the way till Marjorie Taylor Greene cried, everybody said it was safe on that Senate floor. And that's what I saw was the problem, that there wasn't a single person in our government, including the president, telling the truth.
So you're suggesting that the COVID vaccine isn't safe?
Well, I know it's not safe. It's a bioweapon that they've had sitting on a shelf for 30 years. And if you look at the VAERS,
in the world right now are making a biochemical weapon.
Yes, I can show you for a fact that they are. They're stopping this COVID thing. There's people fighting back majorly. The VAERS data that they have of all vaccines. This COVID shot has killed and maimed more people than all vaccines that have ever been in creation forever. On the VAERS report, it said there's only, 1% of the actual amount that they say, less than 1% of the actual amount of people that got injuries and deaths. And I think myocarditis, the heart condition, you got recorded, there's 50,000 of them amongst other injuries, but just myocarditis, I think there's 50,000. It's caused 86 to 92% of women to cause them to have miscarriages. Recorded, and this is less than 1%, there's already been 40,000 deaths due to the shots. And they're not vaccines, they're shots. They call them vaccines to trick us. They're shots designed to alter the DNA of your body forever. You know, so that's why I was there at the Capitol that day to make my voice heard to Congress and make them start telling the truth, which has started to happen. And that's why I was there.
What exactly did you believe is COVID then?
They've never isolated COVID. Nobody has ever isolated a virus called COVID-19.
The virus
is not
COVID-19. The virus is a scientific name. It's derived from the, what's it called? I can't recall the specific disease. What's that called? The chest disease. I forgot.
Oh, pneumonia?
Pneumonia, yes. It's derived from the virus use of pneumonia. It shows patterns, and it does relate to that, but it has more lethal impact compared to general pneumonia.
I don't know what it does or doesn't do. I don't know if it exists or doesn't exist. I would imagine that if it does exist, they're highly exaggerating it. And whether it does or doesn't isn't the point. The point is the government has no right whatsoever to force anybody to do anything. The government has no right to mandate anybody to do anything. And they have no right to not tell people the adverse reactions of these shots. I mean, if you haven't gotten on BitChute and listened to real doctors, you don't really know what's going on. It is a bioweapon. And there's going to be, from the next 10 years, there's going to be like millions of people dying, you know, like hundreds of millions. The party has just started. And I'm glad I was one of the heroes that day that showed up at the Capitol to collapse their narrative and of two things.
And what did you say? What did you say to the president? How did you?
What did I say?
Start with how did the riot start? How did you plan it? Okay, and let's take this piece.
Well,
wait, Montana, listen first. First, hear me out, and then you can start talking. Okay, so we have things.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, let's start with how you started planning this. Okay. Then we'll move towards, and do not get ahead of the story. Just let's talk about how you started planning this. Then we'll talk about how it actually went. And then we'll talk about the aftermath, okay? So for now, just planning. No, we're not going to talk about what happened on the day. We're not going to talk about what happened after the day. We're just going to talk about how you started planning this. So take it from the top.
Okay. 20 years ago, when literally this has been my investigation for 20 years, since 9/11, and Bush blew up the World Trade Center, I didn't drink the Kool-Aid that there were 19 guys with box cutters that did all that damage in Manhattan, and I knew on that day of 9/11. I didn't know exactly how they did it, but you could tell by Bush's energy and and things that proceeded before he got into office that I don't want to get into because it's too much politics. I'm just going to get into me. That's how this journey started that led me all the way to January 6th. Mm-hmm. So since that time, I've been trying to convince people that there's a deep state cabal.
Are you suggesting that Bush actually incited the 9/11?
There is a whole cabal of 13 families that meet once a year at this thing called the Bilderberg Group. And they're the richest people on earth. They're richer than any government. They have all the money and all the power. And they're predominantly mostly of Jesuits and Council on Foreign Relations and every other hooknick that runs the world meets at this thing called the Bilderberg Group. And they planned all of these things that they're doing to us. They planned all of these wars that we're getting into. They control the media. And Bush was just a part of it. His whole family was involved. His grandfather funded the Nazis, Prescott Bush, in World War II. And I could go on and on, but I want to get into specifically what led me to January 6th was from 9/11 all the way until January 6th. Most of the time I'd been gathering info from over the internet on the Bush family and on the 13 families that run our world. And everybody was telling me that there's no way to stop them, don't talk about that. And all the way 2 days before January 6th, I heard the Capitol was going to get attacked by paid rioters. Maybe 2 weeks before I left the Philippines, I told my wife I was going to be famous for something, and I kept singing the Star Spangled Banner. And I predicted what I was going to do at the nation's capital way in the 90s. I had visions of taking down, having something to do with taking down the bad people in our government inside of a tunnel and grabbing somebody in a dark tunnel. And on the 6th of January, 2 days before it happened, I asked people to go with me because I knew it was going to be a historic day. And I heard that over the internet that it was going to be attacked by paid rioters on the left by George Soros. George Soros is an Ashkenazi Jew. And if you know anything about history, he helped to kill his own people in Nazi Germany and said on national television that he got a great power. He felt a great power in doing it. And at the same time that he was working against America and the world and helping the Nazis out, my grandfather, who also was an Ashkenazi Jew, was climbing that wall that the Germans and the Nazis didn't think anybody could get up in Italy, the famous battle that this unit, my grandfather's unit, the Devil's Brigade, made it up this wall and ambushed them from behind. And they were the first special forces ever assembled, and he was fighting for our freedom. The same time, another Jew, one of our own people, was working on destroying us, and they started taking away people's rights in Germany first by propaganda in the media, like they here, and a virus. So the same plan that they did in Nazi Germany, they did it here. The same families that funded Nazi Germany did the same thing here. It's the same playbook. You got to look at your history to know what the hell's really going on. Yes, this is a bioweapon. And anybody that went along with any of this doesn't know history, and you're repeating it. When I showed up there, I was late for the rally, and I said, "Where's the rally?" They said, "Everybody's going toward the Capitol." So it was over. I got there late, but I was there just in time for the riot. I believe on the
Fontana, we're talking a lot about the the day and everything near the day. What about planning? What was your highlights while gathering intel? How did the people you meet influence you along the way? You said this is a 20-year thing that you gathered.
Yeah, over 20 years, I've been gathering information from the internet on how the deep state works.
I understand that. But what you're not trying to understand here is we can't just say in the book that, okay, this was 20 years and just skip ahead. We have to discuss those 20 years. We have to discuss what you discovered. What exactly did you find out? Who were the 13 families? What did you find out about Bush? And how did it lead you to your current conclusion? What did you look up in history? All these things need to be explained in order to make the book have some sense to it.
Okay, I'm kind of like a pre-9/11 patriot. I never believed the media from the day of 9/11 that we should be thanking service members for their service for becoming Bush's terrorists to expand the New World Order. If you did something in the military that's heroic or you saved an old lady in a tree or something like that or you saved an individual's life, or you were gathering intelligence against the corruption in the military, I would thank you for your service. But I never blindly thank people for their service after 9/11. In fact, I'll just flat out tell you, I felt like spitting on them for joining the service just because Bush told them to, because I knew he did it. So from 9/11... all the way until January 6th, I spent every minute thinking about how I was going to stop the New World Order. And I constantly watched videos on the Bush family and on the Rothschilds and I met a guy in the Philippines back in, I think, 2011, maybe 2010, 2011. And he taught me that there was an oath called the Jesuit Oath, and it's written right in the Library of Congress. And their Sikh tradition, they have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. And it says it in this oath, everything that they're doing, everything I have been. Pretty much asking questions about the Jesuits and the corruption in our government probably since fifth grade, when I first heard that the Jesuits killed Abraham Lincoln. They said it was a conspiracy theory that John Wilkes Booth didn't kill Abraham Lincoln, the Jesuits did. And they killed him because Abraham Lincoln wasn't going to pay the bank back, and he started printing his own money, the greenback. That's why they killed Abraham Lincoln, and that's the same reason they killed John F. Kennedy, because he was trying to get us out of the World Bank. All of these wars that we've been fighting overseas, and the television has been telling you it's for freedom. It wasn't for freedom. It hasn't gotten more free from fighting all these wars, and we've been nothing but conned that any of these wars have anything to do with you. Your taxpayer money, your entire life has been wasted on a lie. The founding father said that we should never be fighting in any wars on other lands. And if our country is ever going to be taken over, it's going to be from within. And I learned this in fifth grade. So pretty much, I've been kind of off and on doing my own investigation on how to defeat these people from fifth grade, if you really think about it. And I've always tried to convince people to help with this crusade to beat the deep state cabal and to get our rights and our sovereignty of our country back, and to release all of the cures that the FDA and the medical cabal are telling you doesn't exist. We shouldn't be this sick. They keep us sick. They control everything. And it's been so irritating to get people to see what I'm trying to tell them. Mm-hmm. Up until January 6th, I never would have been taken seriously. But on that day, the major apparatus that controls the deep state, that controls the everybody's opinion, mm-hmm. is the media. And that's what I destroyed on that day. And you've been seeing the media in a tailspin ever since I called last October.
Again, we're talking about the aftermath. We're getting back to the aftermath again. It's not about the aftermath. It's about what you discovered. Name the 13 families.
Oh, I discovered that, I guess at least for 1,000 years, they've gone under different names, but they control the world. And this is biblical, what's going on right now. This great awakening is written in the Bible. We're going through a biblical period right now where I became a follower of Jesus just during COVID. I didn't want to believe in the Jesus that I call them the dumb rednecks churches would tell you about, this guy that died for our sins, and as long as you give the preacher money, you'll be okay for his stupid shiny shoes, but everything's just going to get worse and worse, and that's it. You know, don't take the mark of the beast. But until I saw a video from this prophet named Kim Clement during the COVID lockdown, and it gave me some hope that this isn't really what the Bible said. It actually said in the end times is really the end for the deep state, and now we're going into a long period of peace. And the preachers didn't want to tell you this. They always wanted to tell you it's going to be doom and gloom. The world's just falling forever. And you know, as long as you just keep giving me money, you won't go to hell, and you believe Jesus died for your sins. As long as you believe Jesus died for your sins and you keep paying me, you're good. So this is what made me turn me away from Jesus. But until COVID happened, and that video popped up from Kim Clement, there was a part of this video where this guy named Trey Smith was narrating it. It said, "Someone cried." And I started to cry at that moment. And the video was called "A Letter to the President Must Hear" by Kim Clement. And I shit you not, and I could prove it eventually that video was talking about me. The prophet wrote about me. I'm the Snowden that he said would arise and cause embarrassing moments to happen in the government. That I was the one that video was talking about. And that was what gave me some hope when I watched the video and I cried out to Jesus. And before then, I didn't believe in a personal God. I just believed in spirit. I just believed that there was a God up there that really didn't care about you as an individual. But since this happened on January 6th, and I eventually, when the video gets shown of what I did at the Capitol, everybody's going to know that the Snowden that they were talking about in that video was me. There's a famous prophet named Kim Clement, and he wrote about me. I am the Snowden that he wrote about. And probably if it wasn't for his video and me being saved or being brought to Jesus in the middle of it, I maybe wouldn't have even showed up there at the Capitol that day. And maybe I probably wouldn't have shown up if my kids were already here and they were safe. But since they were stuck in the Philippines and there really wasn't anybody really fighting for our freedom, I didn't have anything to lose by showing up there that day. I mean, we were stuck on lockdown. They were saying this is the new normal, and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And that's exactly what would have happened if I didn't do what I did. And if we didn't show up there that day, it would still look like a hospital morgue around here. I would strongly advise you, if you took that shot, you need to figure out how to get it out of your system, because it is a bioweapon. I could show you so much slew of evidence to prove it that you haven't looked at. I mean, you need to wake up, man. They're trying to kill us, and
okay,
they didn't get away with it, but there's going
to
be a lot of...
Listen. Hold on. Irrelevant to the shot at this time. You're talking about how your family, like how a prophet spoke about you, right? Is there any proof that you have regarding that? Can you send a link? Do you have a video, something that can, an article or anything that he wrote?
Okay, when I had the president on the January 6th tips line, and all the white hats were listening, he was repeating back to me at a rally last October that somebody told him that he has no balls. I was the one that screamed at President Trump and told him, I knew I had more balls than you. And I said, amongst a bunch of other things, and I said on the telephone, Let me finish. I said on the telephone, I'm the person they were talking about in this video. And after this phone call, there's going to be highly embarrassing moments, and you're not going to be able to call January 6th anything other than a false flag and a staged event. So if you connect all the dots from October, they were going to close down the January 6th committee. That was done. They weren't going to talk about it in the media anymore. There was nothing more that could be said. Then when I came forward, you saw Marjorie Taylor Greene crying on the Senate floor. I told them on the telephone that I'm the person that they're talking about in this video. And the journalist Kim Iverson mentioned within 48 hours after I screamed at Trump on the phone, another Snowden arise. Those were the words she used. That's me she was talking about. There was only one journalist that mentioned me.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be able to cover me up forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's everything that's happening with January 6th started with me when last October. They have never announced... They've been doing false flags. The Jesuits linked up with George Soros, Bush family, all of the 13 families have been doing false flags since World War II, probably before that.
Hold for a second. I'm getting a quick call from my boss. Hold up.
Okay. Well,
hey, Fontana.
Yeah.
Hey, so I think I just got a call from the publishing department. Okay. And they wanted to confirm, since I was on call with you, we do have a conversation a few months back about the copyrights of the book. And I'm getting those.
The what?
The copyrights for the book. The copyrights, the book cover, everything required to complete a publish. Aside from this manuscript, when do you plan on getting the rest of it?
Let me just make sure the book is right first. I'll worry about the other stuff, because right now I don't even have the money for... I have to get this house ready to be rented out, tie everything up, and get back to my family in the Philippines that I haven't seen for 3 years. So as far as copywriting and all the things that I got to do at the end of this book, I've never written a book before, and I know I'm probably a bit difficult to deal with, my mind scattering all over the place and whatever. It's just going to take me some. I just want to focus on the book first.
Okay.
When the book is done, and then we look at it and we go, hey, that's a good book, then I'll worry about the cover and copywriting it.
But then you won't be able to publish it for so long, like working on other things. If you don't work on things together,
I don't have the money to go through all that. Let me just write it first. Make sure it's right. You know, there's a lot of cleaning up we got to do to it and whatever. You know, it's been a few months and there's only been about 15 pages written in it. Which,
yeah.
Hey, you know, at least there's 15. You know, I'm not gonna.
We'll work.
You know, I know you guys got a big caseload of lots of people and you're writing a lot of books and I appreciate my 15 pages. So we'll just keep pecking at it. You know.
Thank you. Fontana, we're going to have to rain check for the day because my boss is calling me in. So I'm going to call you back tomorrow around the same time, okay?
Okay. So it's about 7-ish or so?
Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.